Every day, complete coverage of Orioles spring training with Ryan Ripken, Steve Molesky, and the entire fan lineup as we gear up for opening day, March 26th, live from Pickles Pub against the Minnesota Twins. Baseball is back, and it's on 105.7 The Fan. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Tim Barbalays.
There are jobs to be won in the Orioles bullpen. Manager Craig Albernaz recently talked about the importance of having a balance of righties and lefties in the pen.
The best day, I mean, I think having multiple lefties is very intriguing. But with everyone in our camp, that's where our pitching coaches is solving, is to make our guys matchup proof. You know, so righties can get out lefties and lefties can get out righties. You know, we preach winning the line of scrimmage. Hopefully we can keep that going all through camp.
NFL teams and draft prospects are arriving in Indianapolis for the scouting combine. GM and head coach availability will take place tomorrow and Wednesday, with the first on-field workouts happening on Thursday. From the Bob Bell Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center, temps are in the low 40s with an overnight low of 23. Tomorrow has partly cloudy skies and a high of 38. I'm Tim Barbalays, Ravens Terps, and your home for the most Orioles spring training coverage. Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Inside Access with Ken Wyman and Tim Barbalays. Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Draft will be here before you know it, Bone. So before we look ahead, let's look back to last year's draft. A draft that, quite frankly, we were very excited about after it happened. The Ravens took Malachi Starks in the first round, and we felt that was a plug-and-play guy. And while I think he was good at times last year, he did not show a lot of the playmaking ability that was a big part of his game at Georgia. But he was okay. And then in the second round, they took Mike Green, who dropped because of off-field concerns, and thought, well, I thought he'd lead the team in sacks, and it didn't really happen for him a year ago, but he think he could take a jump the next year. And then it starts at the top, and Emory Jones, who they took in the third round and missed most of the season, kind of a redshirt year. So we can go down the list if we'd like. They had a lot of draft picks, but those, let's start with those three guys. Like, do you see a jump for them this season?
It's got to happen. And I think when you look at this draft class as a whole, 11 players taken, and really the biggest standout you could maybe say was Teddy Buchanan.
Yes, and who then tore the ACL.
Exactly. Yeah. And now the start to next season for him, very much murky at best. But just working your way down, Malachi Starks, I think there were times this year, the Texans game jumps out, where he looked a little over his skis. But Starks, you can look at all of the high draft picks that the Ravens have had in recent years, whether it's Marlon Humphrey, Kyle Hamilton, Nate Wiggins. Like, those guys weren't day one starters. They were eased in during their rookie year, where Starks, he just got thrown right into the deep end. And you're right. I think I remember Harbs talking about Starks taking on such a leadership role at that rookie mini camp, where he's like running through plays.
Well, yeah, they sold us on it. He's a veteran already.
Yeah, he's a veteran already, where he didn't get his hands on the football as much as we were hoping. He had those back-to-back games in which he got an interception, but only four passes defensed on the season. Like, I think he was fine. Was fine, but you're hoping for a bigger step in his second season.
Beltway Ben, are you sold that Malachi Starks could take a jump in year two?
Sold, no. I think that he can, but we got to see it. It just felt like we were sold the plug and play that he was going to be an immediate impact guy and we'll see change. Now, we know the issues the back end with communication and all of those things we saw with guys who were more established in the NFL. They dealt with it, and I did like what I saw from Malachi Starks as the year went on.
Yeah.
Still wasn't amazing, but he did improve. We started to see him come away with the football a little bit. I do think this guy's a gamer. When you show up at Georgia your first day and earn a starting role in just year one, it tells me a little bit of something about you on a defense that's ferocious and one of the best in the country every year. I think that we'll see him get there, but again, so far in the NFL, I haven't seen enough to tell me it's definite. And They're probably going to have to get someone back there with him because he will move Kyle Hamilton up. That's the big thing.
I'm glad you brought that up because they need to bring in a third safety early on, where that was definitely a miss on Eric DeCosta's
part. It won't be a Loey Gilman.
Yeah, no, it will not be a Loey Gilman. But you lose our Darius Washington in April or May due to that Achilles injury, and then you wait until week five, week six to bring in a Loey Gilman. And that really affected the defense because it Kyle Hamilton, you didn't have the ability to move him all around.
Could it be our Darius Washington? They seem to like him. I don't know that his market is going to be big coming off the injury.
I would be totally fine with them bringing back our Darius Washington. It was a rough final game for him in Pittsburgh, but he's a gamer. Like, he's not the biggest guy in the world. He's not like this ball hawk. Like, he's a very rock solid football player that can help you win games.
Let's get to the second round pick. Mike Green, here's the good news. He finished second on the team in sacks. That was with 3.5, though. Tavius Robinson, who missed considerable time, led the team in sacks with 4.5. Mike Green, I guess, flashed at times.
Yeah,
but not enough for my liking.
No.
Not for a guy that was supposed to be a first round pick, if not for the off the field issue.
That's exactly it. Where you were kind of sold that, okay, we know why he fell in the draft, but he was going to be an instant impact guy. Now, something that went against him was the fact that the Ravens didn't have anything along the edge, and that kind of forced him into more play time than you would have liked. Probably would have liked to use him as more of a designated pass rusher, where he was playing some serious snaps throughout the season, and especially when Tavius Robinson went down with the injury and missed several weeks. But you were definitely expecting more from Mike Green, a heck of a lot more than 3.5 sacks.
Yeah, I said we did a six pack of bold predictions, and I said he'd lead the team in sacks, and I thought it would be like 8.5.
Yeah,
and like, so 3.5 is for a guy that played as much as he did. Frankly, it's disappointing.
Oh, it definitely is disappointing, and there's a lot of pressure on him to take a big step next year, because it's not like the Ravens have endless money and cap space where, yeah, we expect them to bring in another guy or two, but how this pass rush looks, there's going to be a lot on him.
So more or less confident in Mike Green taking the jump than Malachi Starks?
I'm going to say that I'm more confident in Malachi Starks right now to take that leap.
Beltway Ben, are you confident that Mike Green can take a year two jump?
I am. I would say more confident in him. I expect both guys to at least in the right direction, but I would say more with Mike Green. I think you got to let him rush the passer, and I think that was something I always talked about. The same play, it was against Detroit early in the year, and he's in coverage with Sam Laporta when this is one of his first actual NFL games in a spot where, again, at Marshall, he's not out there with tight ends much, right? He's rushing the passer. We saw Dafe Owe go to L.A., and the first thing he said was, they let me, you know, do what I'm supposed to do and rush the passer, and that was a big thing for him. So I do think with Minter switching things up a little bit, we'll see more from Mike Green.
Yeah, and it's on this coaching staff where you're expecting this staff to really unearth the potential of these young guys, these recent young high draft picks like Starks and Green.
So now the Emory Jones of it all. And obviously he ended up playing a little bit this year, but he had the shoulder thing, and they said they knew he was hurt when they drafted him, and last year was essentially a redshirt season for Emory Jones.
We played the clip from Eric DeCosta on that podcast where it sounds like he's going to get every single opportunity to win one of those starting guard spots, and he better. Look, we've seen the Ravens take chances on these type of guys, whether it's a David Ajabo, whether it's a Andrew Voorhees, and now Emory Jones. But third-round pick, you're talking a day-two pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, he better win a starting job next year.
I'd have to think that neither Andrew Voorhees or Daniel Faalele is starting a guard for this team this season.
Faalele is a free agent, and you would expect him to walk. Voorhees is still under contract, but he's more of a depth guy at this point. You got to have two brand new starters at guard.
It was colossal disappointment. Beltway, Ben, are you buying Emory Jones?
Yes, I absolutely am. I need them to get back to the mean offensive lineman. I mean, Emory Jones does feel like he fit that. He was handcuffed with the injury that he had to deal with, and that kind of dragged into the beginning of the season, and we know kind of where John was with rookies, especially if you miss all of camp. He was never going to get a ton of run, and then he got a little bit, we saw, and then they immediately shot that right down, and we saw it again later in the year, just with injuries and things. But yes, I think a full off season now of participation, he should be a pretty good guy. And I think Eric in the front office is pretty confident that he'll be the starting guard, one of the starting guards, left guard.
So you alluded to Teddy Buchanan. He's coming off injury. We don't know. Carson Vinson's a project. Bill Alcone and Robert Longerbeam, the two corners they drafted, both got hurt at one time or another. So there's nothing to project there. LaJonte Wester was bad after his first muffed punt. Aeneas Peebles and Tyler Loop are the other two guys. Tyler Loop was good enough until he wasn't, and Aeneas Peebles didn't get any run.
Yeah, I'm very interested in how they play out the kicker position. Do they bring in competition for Loop? If they do bring in someone, is it a legit competition, or is it a air quotes competition like he had with the undrafted kid that last year that didn't even make it to the first preseason game? Loop, it's unfortunate. That kick needs to be made every single time. I mean, when you're talking under 50 yards, and obviously kicks beyond 50 are a big question mark with him. He was only 1 for 4, and you could tell that they didn't really have a ton of trust in him. You mentioned LaJonte Wester. It was so interesting. The first 10 games of the season, he had 12 punt returns, averaged 14.4 yards per return. The rest of the way, Ken, from weeks 11 on, he only fielded 4 more punts. 3 for 14 and then 1 for 11. So 4 punt returns for 25 yards. He just really got
scared. Yeah.
Almost. Like he almost had the yips. And
he had a glitch, too. He'd catch the ball and then he'd stop.
Yeah, so I would expect them to bring in some competition for LaJonte Wester. And you hope that Buchanan's ready for next year. And it'll be tough because that injury occurred towards the end of the season in that game in Cincinnati. But he was a serious bright spot for them. I didn't expect him to get the run that he did day one, and then I believe he was a starter from week 2 on, and he was a useful football player for them.
Coming up next, we have to highlight the Maryland Terrapins. Big win over the weekend against UW at home. Another big game for Andre Mills. We recap next here on The Fan.
Next time on the Big Bad Morning Show.
How great was college basketball Monday night? Also, the O's take the diamond on Monday for exhibition baseball, and reports are that Lamar Jackson has been engaged in off-season activities with the team, but is he ready to sign the extension?
Tomorrow on Sports Radio 105.7, The Fan.
This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
The Celtics beat the Lakers last night. Jaylen Brown had 32 points, and the Celtics are 37-19, second in the East, only behind the Pistons. LeBron James, after the game, talked about Brown for MVP this season, with names like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Nikola Jokic, and Victor Wembanyama all as front runners. He may not be the MVP, but he should absolutely be in the conversation. I'm Chris Fleck.